still nervous? Ever got nervous about anything? What sort of things make you nervous? Exams?
Yeah.
Driving in the snow, thunderstorms, anything else? The dentist. Yes. But they're all right, the dentists these days. They're not as bad as they used to be. Oh, they're fine. I can remember the dentist when he had the thing coming out of his, like a Dalek, at you. But then not now, no. And if you're very good, you get a lollipop at the end. Oh, sorry. You get a tube of toothpaste at the end. Oh, well, never mind. But there's no need to be afraid of the dentist. But we get nervous about things. Exams. We might get nervous about doing something new. Now, for those of you with long memories, dating. How nervous does that get you? I don't know. What if she says, in my case, what if she says, what if she doesn't like me? I mean, I've had a bath. I've shaved most of it. What if? Oh, she might not remember me. What if it goes wrong? Oh dear, we're very unsure of ourselves. We feel that about many new things. A new friendship that we're making, it could be a dating one, or it could be a new job. What if it goes wrong? Moving into a new home or buying a new home. What if it goes wrong? We mustn't be complacent because things, yes, they can go wrong. But as long as we're doing things, properly, then we're being safeguarded. My oldest son, God willing, on the 15th of June, will be moving into a new house. But what if it goes wrong? What if they break something? What if? Oh, dear. Even silly things like, well, we've always gone to Llandudno for holiday. Shall we go to, let's go to Haverford West. Oh, it's a new place. Oh, I don't know. Let's go to Newquay. Let's go to the east of England. Oh, I don't know. I've never been. I'm nervous. What if it goes wrong? Even a new experience. I mean, as you know, I and the others, we went to the big church day out on Friday and Saturday. And you know, on Thursday night, I was thinking, I'm not sure. I know I bought the tickets and everything, but what if the music is not what I like? What if it's not good? I'm quite comfortable at home and I've got lots of things to do. Oh, it's easier. What if? You get nervous about new things. We're unsure of ourselves. But then there are other situations where, yes, we get a bit nervous, but we know we've got the capability. We know we can do it. We know it's possible to do it. Those of you who watch Great British Bake Off, on whatever channel, I don't mind, if you watch it, those who are taking part in it, on the televised part of it, incredibly nervous about what they're doing, but they know deep down that they can do it. Because you haven't got to that stage, the televised stage, without jumping all through all sorts of hoops and jumping over hurdles and doing all sorts of amazing things. They know they can do it. When somebody says puff pastry, they know what they're talking about. They know what it means. I actually do too, but not everybody. But they know they can do it. There's confidence, but there's, even though there's nerves. And I heard a line of a song at the big church day out, which had these words, "I am who you say I am." And the music was directed to God. The song was directed to God. Hymn was directed to God. I am who you say I am. I wonder if we've had the experience of, as we've grown up, people have said, oh, you're useless, or you're no good, or you're stupid. You can't do that. You're nothing. I hope nobody's ever said you're nothing. Or, oh, you come from Chesterton. Yes. Or even more, I've heard people say, Crackley Bank. Oh, immediately labeled as you're nothing. You can't do it. Do you know what God says to you? What God says to me? He says, you're a child. You're one of my children. You are worth the life of my son. You are redeemed by me. You are set free. You are not a slave to sin. You can do all things through my son who will strengthen you. You are amazing. You are special. Now, I don't know. Anybody here got Mary in their name? Anybody got? Yeah, one or two? You are a handmaid of the Lord. Hold on to that. You are a handmaid of the Lord. And another Mary in another book somewhere, she was quite important, really. You are a handmaid of the Lord. What about John? It could be, there's John the Baptist, John the Evangelist, John, very important. Maybe God is saying to you, you, John, you're going before me to proclaim, to get the way ready for me. You are special. And God's got a word for each person here. You are who I, God, say you are. Don't listen to others. I am who you, God, say I am. That's the important thing. Joshua was terrified of the prospect of taking over leadership. He was terrified. Moses, such a great man, he'd led the people of Israel for 40 years, for goodness sake. He'd taken them out of Israel, humanly speaking. Out of Egypt, sorry. Humanly speaking. Wow, how do you follow that? You follow that because God said to him, you're going to take them to an amazing place. What an amazing place it is. If you look in Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is one of those amazing things that God does during the week. I didn't know this passage exists. Well, I must have read it, but it didn't come to mind. I just, quotes, happened to come across it. These words. The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of hills. This was the place that Joshua was going to lead the people of Israel to. He was sure of who he was because God said to him, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Joshua was sure of who he was. He also knew who was giving him the task. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life, says God. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. This was not a used car salesman. This is God giving him that promise. God sending him. And so he obeyed. The disciples, we think of them, oh, great, fantastic, wonderful people. What does it say about them? They'd seen that Jesus was alive. And yet we read these words, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Some doubted. They were unsure, they were scared. But they knew who they were because Jesus had said to them, just before he was arrested, "You are my friends. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends." Friends of Jesus. That's the minimum he can say of us all. "You are my friend. I have chosen you. You didn't choose me. Didn't depend on you choosing me. I have chosen you. You are my friends." They knew who was giving them the task, the disciples. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." "You are my friends," said Jesus. "I have all authority. That's why I'm sending you to go and do this." Now it's our turn. Now it's our turn. We have a task. Now, it's not a difficult task, though we might be nervous about it. Remember, you are who God says you are. And it is God giving you this task. All authority in heaven and on earth is His. At the end of each row, there are some post-its. Would you get one and get one for yourself and pass it on? There's also a pen, which magically will transform itself into several. And what I would like you to do, please, is to be quiet for a moment and think, who can I, in 2 weeks' time, it's Father's Day. 2 weeks' time, it's Father's Day. And think, who can I invite? Now, I'm not asking you. My degree of success is not, I have invited so-and-so and he or she has agreed to come. No. We are successful in our mission, in our task, if we invite someone. That's all. I'm not asking you to twist their arm, to get them, to force them to come here, to persuade them. That's not how we measure success. Success is simply inviting someone. That's all you're being asked to do. Invite someone to come on the 17th for a special service and barbecue afterwards. I've got some invitations for you to give one. Some of them got a bit smudged in the printing, but the information is clear on them. So let's be quiet. Can we be quiet for a moment? Absolutely as quiet as we can be. Don't talk to your neighbor. You don't need his or her help. Who is God saying invite? If you're not, if even after a moment or two you're still not sure, just take the post-it note and put a question mark on it. Because God does want you to invite someone, but you may not know quite who it is yet. And then hold on to it. And when you come up to communion, we're going to lay that person at God's feet. When you come up for communion, just stick the post-it note onto the altar rail here. And then later on, we'll put them up at the top there on the cross. It's just, it makes it easier as you come up for communion, stick the person's name on the paper on the altar rail and just leave it there. That's, you're only being asked to invite a person. You say, "Oh, I can't do that. I'm too scared." Yes, you can. We can all do it. Part of the reason sometimes we don't do things like that, "Well, I'm comfortable as I am." What if they say no? If they say no, they say no. "I'm comfortable as I am." If we stay comfortable, then our muscles waste away and we eventually can't do anything. We can do it because what we are being asked to do, as I say, is to invite, not persuade. The success is measured in whether we've invited, not if we persuade them to come, that's a bonus. And we can do it because we are children of God and we are loved by God. We know who we are. And we know who's giving us the task. All authority in heaven and on earth, says Jesus, has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All authority is Jesus who's asking us to do this. Not me, it's Jesus. I am who you say I am. All authority given to Jesus. He's asking us to do that. So let's pause, write a name or a question mark on the piece of paper, and then when we come up to communion, we'll just stick it on here in front of at the feet of God. At the feet of God. If you want to draw a picture of the person, then do that, but a name's probably easier. And if you want to write three or four names, that's fine too. Let's have a moment to do that. And don't worry if two people invite the same person. They'll feel really valued. And it doesn't have to be a man that you're inviting, it can be a lady. Don't want you missing out.
Thank you.
Okay. As John Wayne said, courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. God's calling us to saddle up and not ride out, but ride on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray immediately for those people that you are suggesting to us to invite. We pray for them and we pray that you will make us actually invite them. Not be afraid, even if we're afraid, we go and do it anyway, because we are loved by you. Thank you, Father, for your love towards us. In Jesus' name, amen.